Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin here at day three of OTA or of mini camp, mandatory mini camp.
That's okay that you did that because this is supposed to feel like the first last day of school vibes, but we still have OTAs next week.
I know. So it's like,
it's okay that like your brain is not letting you think, oh, we finally have summer because the team is doing things a little backwards.
I'm like, okay, we got mandatory, and then it's rookie mini camp. Like, this is very flipped.
I've never had a schedule like this. I don't know if the team's ever done anything like this, but yeah, like for the lucky veterans, not the reporters covering this team, the guys who are not rookies, they get to leave and go on their summer break, and they will be back here. I believe it's July 19th.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. We got a lot of scheduling news today, so we got to talk about all of that. Of course, talk about mandatory minicamp. Shorter day today, so not a ton to see, but still some good things and growth that we saw. And got to hear from QB1 today on some interesting topics. So all that and more coming you guys' way. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Lead a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Courtney, how are you today?
I'm good, but I am thrown off by the schedule. Like it's, you know, and even
is it
with
the schedule or the Dan Hurley news? I think both are really throwing us.
I can't process all of this. And even with, you know, you kind of foreshadowed some of the other scheduling news. We will be getting the training camp schedule at some point later today, but we found out from Matt Eberflus that there is a joint practice for the, I believe it's the ahead of the third preseason game. So I'm not going to lie to you people. I did not know that they were playing Cincinnati because I did not commit that to memory.
He tried to clown you a little bit up there, didn't he? That was crazy.
I wasn't the only one who was like asking. I'm like, wait, so is that going to be here? Is it going to be somewhere else? Like, so sorry I did not memorize the practice, the preseason schedule when the games don't matter. I can tell you weeks 1 through 18, I bet, offhand, like committed to memory, I probably could tell you 85% of those games in succession and get them right. But no, I know that there's one preseason game that I'm locked in on right now because it's the first one. And it's against the Houston Texans in Canton for the Hall of Fame game. But that is, you know, it is the first joint practice that they've done since Flus came on board here. And it's going to be one day, August 15th. So I believe it's a Thursday practice. Friday, they have the day off before the game, and it's that Saturday game. So good chance to, I guess, see Joe Burrow in practice because I doubt he'll play in the third preseason game. Or maybe he will, maybe a little bit. He didn't play last year in any of them because he was injured. But to see where Caleb Williams is at that point against another defense, I tend to think you get a better look at what that progression's like in the practices versus the game because they are limiting reps so much and not showing you anything.
No, 100%. I've always said, like, at this point with how the scheduling is going and stuff like that, F all the preseason games. I don't need them anymore. I don't want to see them anymore. We don't want this fake, like,
this year's going to be interesting because of the kickoff. Like, that's the one time they're going to get to see that thing at full speed against another team having to game plan for it. So I still think there's use for preseason games, but I'm with you. It's not.
Give me four joint practices.
I agree.
You know what
that.
I mean? Like, give me four joint practices.
Maybe not
you're working
four
through some
preseason
things.
Games. Yeah. I would be much happier for two instead of this team having four, but makes things longer and more content.
I think what's going to be interesting as well with this is a different style of joint practice. So I don't know if this is going to be just one long practice. He said they're going to go through everything. Mm-hmm. This is a one-day joint practice. Usually you get a couple of them in, but he's like, day before the game, we're going to do this, and then we're going to go play the game. A little bit different. Again, scheduling, things are a little bit different this season than what we saw last year.
Yeah, and it'll, like, I've covered these before, and typically with joint practices, this is where you can really get a lot of good work in because, you know, everything's scripted, of course, but you get a chance to show some looks that maybe you didn't show against you. I mean, your defense hasn't shown your offense because it's somebody else's defense. Right. And even in the preseason, they're not game planning for an opponent. Like you'll hear them talk about that throughout training camp. Like, oh, we're just, you know, we're focused on ourselves right now. We're not at week one preparing for the Tennessee Titans and working on what their defense presents to our offense and what our offense will, or what, you know, their offense will present to our defense. But that's the chance that you'll get some unscouted looks for this offense, which will really will help us be able to gauge where Caleb Williams is in his development. I think that's a really good thing. I think joint practices have so much more value than preseason games. And of course you want guys to be smart. You don't want any stupid fights. You don't want anybody to get injured. They'll address that stuff like they always do. But I remember the first year they got here and like it was just like, let's just try to make it through training camp. Like, they weren't even the last 2 years, they really weren't at a point where they could invite another team in or go somewhere else for a joint practice because they were still trying to like figure out who they were as a team. That's another sign to show you that they see the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. Like what Jaquan Brisker said when I asked him, like, you know, this is the year that they're supposed to start competing. And that's just like a very small sign that shows you that they believe that.
Wasn't last season when they were joint practice in India, I thought?
Well, yeah, no, you're right.
It was a weird one because it was basically like practice was so good, we're not playing in the game.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know why I completely miffed on that because that's when Tevin Jenkins got the calf injury. We were down there for 2 days. Yeah. It was a Saturday game. This is the first time they've hosted it here.
They've hosted,
that's what
yes.
I, that's sorry. Yes, that's what I yes. was, my brain's a million places. But that's where I was going Dan with that Herman. Because it's, you know, they now are having somebody on their turf to where they get to dictate all of that. And I honestly thought the joint practices last year in Indianapolis were some of the best work that they got in all summer. And yeah, there were a couple moments where it got chippy out there from their defense. I remember Flus was yelling at a couple of the veteran players that he had coached in Indianapolis for, you know, maybe taking some liberties with, you know, you're not supposed to have that much contact in practice, but it was, those 2 days, I thought, were a really good indicator of the work that they were getting in at that point, August 16th and 17th last year. And now that they get to have it on their terms, I'm curious to see what the script will look like, what Matt Eberflus will, he and Zach Taylor, he said they're going to work on it together, what, you know, what that's all going to be and how the format's going to be different than what we saw. Maybe they learned from some stuff in Indianapolis. Maybe there's some things they want to do different. You know, with a rookie quarterback getting a live look at another team that early on before, you know, you're right. Like the preseason, he's not going to be seeing the best of the best and like a lot of looks that, you know, teams are going to try to keep behind closed doors.
Yeah, it's going to be the thing that I'm going to be looking most forward to. Of course, Caleb Williams is what we're all watching. Literally, the my favorite part of when the cameras can come up at practice is it's literally just everybody going, where's 18? Hold on, where's it? There he is. I got him right there. But I'm really excited to see what this DB unit looks like versus Jamar Chase, versus T. Higgins, versus an offense, that combination of Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase that has been dominant, that is a Super Bowl caliber offense. Sure. I think that is one of those, that's going to be the best test you're going to get here. The Bears are trying to get to that point offensively, but that connection still is growing versus a connection that the second that those two got back on the field together was instant and they were able to go to a Super Bowl. That I think is going to be a real test, especially for that DB unit.
And for this secondary to, I mean, everybody's calling them a top five unit already. You hear that today?
Caleb Williams
said it. Like, I think that, you know, they certainly feel that. Jaquan Brisker was talking about these sky high expectations for that group. And that's been reiterated by Kyler Gordon, by Kevin Byard, and even yesterday with Jalen Johnson. Like, they really think they're that good. And this is your chance to kind of prove your, you know, are you worth your salt at that point? And I think they will, you know, but to do it against a receiving trio out there, especially with Jamar Chase, who is, you know, the next in line for a big contract when he's, you know, eligible for it. It's exciting to see. And I think that they will get a very good chance to, you know, also see how Caleb Williams stacks up going against, you know, not head to head, but like when you get to see people side by side, like where Joe Burrow is, he's now four years, 2021, 2023,
5 years.
Yeah, 5 years into his career. You know, you're not going to have like too many similarities, I wouldn't say. Yeah, he's 2020. But that's a good way to get like a measuring stick of, okay, where are you at right now in your career? Where do you want to be?
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow, I mean, coming in, he was on a bad team his first year, and seeing what happened, as you mentioned, when they bring in Jamar Chase, quickly the expectations for that team skyrocketed. By that time, we will have a good feel for what this offense is going to look like when they're in 11 personnel, what the usage is going to look like for D DJ Moore, for Keenan Allen, for Roma Dunze. And I'm excited to see the distribution of the football. And you know, yeah. Even what Caleb Williams said today, that, you know, he thinks they're going to be pretty damn good. I mean, on paper, they should be. Look at all that talent they have around them.
They talk about, and maybe it's just the vibe that I'm getting, but when we're sitting in there in the press conferences right now, how they're talking to me sounds like the only thing they're worried about with Caleb, and even Caleb today, the only thing that he's worried about right now is the cadence. It doesn't sound like they're worried about, like, oh, is this offense going to click? Are we going to be able to figure the plays out? Are we going to be on the same page? They just keep saying, once I get the cadence right, you know, I feel like I'm going to be there. We need him to get the cadence. We're really working with him on the cadence. Once he gets the cadence right, it sounds like their expectation is to be a pretty good offense this season.
I think they're looking at it like in steps, because, I mean, they're still – going to be moments. I mean, with the processing speed for him, like, again, he's not going against a live pass rush for a while. Yeah. So, you know, when that happens, when they're all in pads and they can, and they can't have contact with the quarterback, but they can, you know, have a much more realistic feel for it. You know, where is he starting off in that process? But yeah, it's like, I think he's done a really good job and they've done a good job of segmenting out what needs to be the focus right now. Right now, the focus doesn't need to be, you know, figuring out the wide receiver depth chart and who his number one target is. It's simply getting everybody on the same page, vocalizing the snap count, making sure it's not too loud, too soft, making sure everybody hears it. As he walked us through it today, I thought that was a really kind of, you know, heads up view on how he's approaching it. But you're right in terms of, like, they see the big picture potential. That doesn't mean they're trying to, like, race to that step. But yeah, where Caleb has these are all like check marks for himself of what more do I need to do so when I come to training camp, I'm in a place where I'm comfortable. And I think you can just look really through this whole process that they've gone through this offseason and see they've been very intentional with the steps from the time, like, you know, it became obvious that he was going to become the quarterback of this team. They started learning that he started learning the offense. He started learning the things that instead of, you know, guys who had, you know, just get here in the beginning of May, like, he had a jump start on that. And I do think that that's really helped his overall progression, knowing that there still will be work to do, but he's a hell of a lot further along than most quarterbacks who come into any situation, good or bad, as the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I think that's what's been very impressive about him. It doesn't look like the moments has been too big. It doesn't look like he doesn't understand what he's saying out there. I was standing out there next to Thayer while practice was going on, Tom Thayer, and he was just talking to me. He was like, this kid has no idea where everything is supposed to be yet.
Yeah.
He's just figuring out, okay, this is what I got said to me. This is what I'm going to say to get it back in. Who's the receiver that I need to find on this play? It is baby steps. It is him figuring it out and going through it. But as we've heard from Flus, as we've heard from Shane Waldron, him getting into that playbook as early as he did does seem to have him with a leg up on the competition right now.
Yeah, and that's like, it's these things take a long time to learn. Like, what he was talking about today, last time he used a verbal cadence was high school.
High school, yeah.
Like, to have to go relearn that effectively, and I mean, obviously, it's a much different thing at this level, but, you know, 4 years of being, or 3 seasons of being in a spread offense, and where you're doing the clap cadence, as you and I talked about the other day, you're looking at the sideline, looking for what the play is.
Screw baseball. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, like what receivers do, you know, that can take months for guys to get comfortable with. So their process of making sure he got up to speed on all of that is super impressive, because, you know, it's an opportunity that they didn't waste. They didn't waste it being like, oh, he'll just figure it out when he gets here. Like, we want him only working with our coaches. I would imagine he's going to, like, when they break next week for real, like everybody's gone, I would imagine he's going to have a very detailed plan about what his summer is going to look like for the work he's going to be putting in away from here. Yeah. In regards to that.
100%.
Because you can't like have like, okay, cadence is good. Let's, you know, see in 5 weeks and not practice it.
Like, no, yeah, yeah. And I think what's interesting too, because a lot of people are probably like, well, okay, the cadence, like, what's he got to be loud enough? He's got to be soft enough. He kind of explained that today. And you also have to take into account, you know, he's saying, I got to be loud enough for the right and left guards to hear me when I'm going through the play. But he's probably like, all right, I'm loud in here. And Flus is like, hey, listen, there's going to be a crowd out there. There's going to be people screaming. The stadium's going to be rumbling as you're trying to get the play out. You need to be loud enough. And
they're doing it right now without factors. I mean, yeah, there's music playing, but like, you know, when they bring in the crowd noise, it sounds like a jet engine. Yeah. That's how you've got to be able to be loud enough so everybody can hear you. And they're not facing you. They can't see you. Exactly. They can't gauge where any of that is. And there's like a silent count. There's the dummy counts. There's the hard count. Like there's all these things that, you know, it's just God, like the thought of having to like master all of that and do it in about 2 months now until the time like these practices really get going in August. That's a lot.
And you got, as we heard from Tevin Jenkins yesterday, Andrew Billings on the other side just screaming at you.
Move.
Like, to make it, and the offensive linemen are jumping left and right. I guess we should talk about what we saw at OTAs today. The biggest concern that has been going around Twitter as I was down here looking is that Nate Davis was yet again not out there. Yep. And Flus basically saying precautionary stuff. But we're now 3 weeks at least of us being here, and we've seen Nate Davis do a half a practice. Yeah. Should we be a little bit concerned at this point?
You know, and certainly it's injury related. It has to be, because otherwise why would you be on a bike today after practicing in limited capacity yesterday? The team is very cautious during this time of the year. I was having a conversation with one of the guys on the beat earlier. I wonder how many players, you know, no matter what it is. Oh no, something's not feeling right today. It could be a minuscule thing. It could be, wow, my back is killing me. Whatever Kyler Gordon's going through, I wonder how much they're encouraged. It seems like a lot to be like, hey, if you see something, say something effectively, like with whatever it is. And if there was something yesterday that Nate Davis felt after he got off the practice field, like, oh, maybe I had a setback. Maybe it was something else. You tell the trainer and they immediately are like, no, we're not going to chance it. But so like at this time of year, as frustrating as I get it is for Bears fans to continue to read this about Nate Davis, that he's not out there at practice or he's, you know, partially in the lineup, partially not, because your brain immediately goes to, they're going to be shuffling again on the offensive line. They brought in Ryan Bates to play center and he's playing right guard right now. He's
probably going to be right guard,
Like, water is wet, rinse and repeat. We've seen this same song and dance now for the last couple of years. You hope, and what Flus said yesterday when I asked him that, there's no real concern right now, or nothing at least that he's heard from the training staff, that Nate Davis will not be ready to go at training camp and practice in full. But if we get to training camp and they go through that ramp up period and everybody's ramped up to the point where it's full squad practice and he's not out there, then that's a big issue. That's a big issue, because for everything he went through off the field last year and working his way back in to being available, to not being available, like having an up and down year, this has got to be where they see the return on investment from him. And if they don't, then it puts them in a bind. They made a lot of decisions based on bringing Nate Davis in. They moved Tevin Jenkins to left guard. Once he gets hurt last year, they have to shuffle even further. Yeah. They made a lot of like their personnel decisions based on, this guy is our starting right guard. We have him here for 3 years, $30 million on the contract. He's going to be our starting right guard. But now you have to factor in all these other things in just like playing it safe scenarios of, well, what if whatever this injury is something that, you know, pops up again. And then it just like you spent so many resources on depth and on starters on the interior of the offensive line. You don't want that to be a problem you continue to have to solve.
And it's tough for me, right? Because last year, my mind is a wash. It is what it is. What he went through off the field. Mm-hmm. I know we all want to make this, you know, all the fans out there want this to be Madden, but these guys aren't video game characters. You can see them, feel them, touch them, all of that. No, Diddy, that sounded crazy. But I think that you do have to take the human element into account with what he went through last season.
Sure.
This season coming up, especially starting off, and I know it's not panic time already, but it's hard not to go back to when Mike Vrabel was asked about why they were okay letting Nate Davis go, and his response was, we like guys to practice.
No, I mean, when I talked to him at owners' meetings last year, it was 2023, his body language kind of displayed something that would lead you to believe that they were, for those reasons, okay letting him out of the building. And, you know, certain guys can get away with not practicing.
David Bakhtiari, according to Rob Domofsky, never practiced.
And
and he kept Aaron Rodgers upright.
And
so,
you know, there's it's a case-by-case basis. Yeah. But I think that you know, mini camp's over. All the vets are leaving. Like, it's only going to be rookies here next week. So you give Nate Davis the same grace that you give to everybody else. Cole Kmet, who's dealing with an injury. Tyler Scott's dealing with an injury. Hell, we even saw Austin Booker on the bike for a little bit earlier today. But like, there's several vets right now. Braxton Jones being held out. You give Nate Davis the grace on it right now. If he comes back in late July, though, and isn't ready to go, then you have like, then sound the alarm. Sound the alarm as loud as you want to, because this is something that should not be an issue for them. And I know it's frustrating when you are banking on somebody to fulfill the contract and also like just, you know, not give you a question mark at a position that you, you know, like the whole position, the interior of the offensive line, because there's still going to be, there's always going to be concerns with Tevin and his health. Even he said that yesterday. His goal is to be fully healthy for a 17 game season and for a full season, regardless, 17, 16 games. Like, he hasn't done that. And that's going to always be, until you see it happen, a question mark. You don't need the other, right, the other guard spot to be just as big of a deal in terms of the uncertainty you have at that position.
What's the move you make just in case, right? How would you set this offensive line up just in case Nate Davis is an issue this season?
Well, the good thing is they have depth at center and they have depth at guard. What we saw today was, you know, rotating in Matt Pryor, Ryan Bates at that position. If you need Coleman Shelton to play center,
Matt Pryor's massive.
Like, he's huge.
He's
really,
he's like
guy.
6'7",
for a
335,
guard,
345. I mean, he's massive.
You normally don't expect that from a guard position, but you at least have some better options. I mean, these aren't sexy names. This isn't any play that's like, it's, these are like above average.
They're supposed to be your backup.
Interior. Yes. Yeah. They're backup players. It's a good way to put it. Without sugarcoating it, but at least they have the depth there. Like, and they still have the depth of other players who, you know, like Jatari Carter, like guys that they brought in and drafted, but in addition to the free agent options that they have, I just think that they're, you know, everybody's going to be waiting on, you know, pins and needles to see what this offensive line looks like at the start of training camp, to see who's out there practicing and who's not.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. We'll see kind of when training camp gets here, what these guys look like, who's healthy, who's not. Let's talk about the day a little bit. We got to see Caleb Williams in the offense, to me, come out and have one of their best days that we've seen since we've been up here. What'd you see from the offense today?
You know, everything's red zone. Everything was shortened today because it's, you know, the getaway day for players. I think what Flus pointed out was pretty obvious, that the red zone period was much cleaner today. In 7-on-7, the offense won. In 11-on-11, when Caleb's forced to think, you know, process a little bit quicker because there is a pass rush that's coming at him. Like, you know, I counted a drop pass. There was an incomplete pass.
A couple drop passes.
Like, yeah. And I mean, these are your backup tight ends.
Yeah.
You know, 87 and 88. Like, you know, Cole Kmet's on the bike and Gerald Everett just wasn't targeted on those plays. But I, you know, the defense, as expected, got the better of them in team period. And Caleb Williams, I thought, had some really nice throws in 7-on-7. I'd say it's his best day of 7-on-7. And yeah, like, everything shrinks in the red zone, but things speed up quickly. So to watch him fit that throw over Jalen Johnson's head in the corner of the end zone to Roma Dunze, I thought that was his best throw of the day. And then there was a touchdown to DJ Moore as well in the back of the end zone. That was not in the corner. It was in the back of the end zone by the goalpost. There were some good throws, some tight window throws. He was throwing with anticipation. He felt like he was showing that more today than other days. So those are good signs.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I thought the offense did a lot of key things. Let me pause here real quick. My laptop is not charging. EO, you're going to have to cut this.
Why are you not trying?
Well, at least it's not like an internet issue or...
That's true. Internet's actually moving pretty well today. It has to be on, though. Oh, now it's charging. Okay. Like, the screen got dark. I was like, what the heck happened?
Well.
Oh. As soon as we said
it stinks.
Is it back? Is it back? I think it's back. Okay. 3, 2, 1. I think we're seeing some really good things from the offense. I thought that Caleb Williams looked really confident today as well. Again, he keeps growing in his anticipatory throws, I think, are just getting better and better every single game. Of course, we've talked about the touch that he's been able to put on the ball, but I just feel like he's starting to get used to his receivers as we've gone through this week. And he's kind of figuring out, okay, this is how DJ breaks out of a route. This is where Rome wants the football. This is where Keenan wants the football. Sure. Like, I think he's really getting a hold of this offense and taking control of it.
And yeah, I mean, there's still going to be the moments. Like, he had a pass to Keenan Allen that he threw. It was the ball was wide. It was an overthrown pass to the side. And like, he's going to have those moments, but I think where his growth is happening, I guess, like, you know, the quickest right now is being able to put the ball in certain places that he knows, like, only that his receiver can get, which is that's a very complicated thing to do. And that only comes with reps. And it's, you know, I think Keenan said it the other day, he anticipates that they're going to have some, like, a throwing session somewhere. I mean, they really don't have much time. It's 5 weeks. Camp will be here before you know it, but to be able to continue on that progression. So you don't have to, like, come back in, and they will have a ramp up period, but you don't come back in and have, like, any, like, okay, we got to start over on this stuff. Yeah. I think it's just knowing the body chemistry and where guys like the football.
Yeah. And I'll say this, we got a couple of, go up and get it balls today.
Sure. The contested catch in the one that we saw from Roma Dunze, the touchdown that I thought was his best throw of the day. That's why you have a guy like that.
Going up and getting it. This is not a Chase Claypool situation where guys are down here, arms fully extended, high pointing the football well. I'm getting excited is what I'm saying. Defensively, we talked about how the defense is. It feels that they're a top five defense. What'd you see today defensively that really stood out to you?
They are, I mean, the juice that they bring every single day. I know that, like, you know, the whole idea that defenses are annoying and, like, they're supposed to kind of play this antagonist role. I think that the offense responded to it probably the best we've seen of any of the periods. And even, like, I know there were no refs out there today. It was like,
that was a PI. Flus was crazy for that one.
That was a little nuts. He called it the way that, like, the one, you know, red zone 11-on-11 period ended for the first team offense was Caleb Williams throwing a pass that Matt Eberflus believes was broken up. I think it was Tremaine Edmonds on it. But no, I mean, like, that would have been, I saw him come over and I believe he was talking to Ryan Griffin, who was like, great placement on that. Like, meaning that they knew that he would have gotten the call on that. And sometimes it's not a matter of making the perfect pass. It's putting it in a place where you can get the calls.
Yeah.
You can get the flag. And that's something he's got to learn too, like what he can get away with, because he's testing the secondary. And I think you really got to give him credit for being willing to push the limits to see what he can get away with against a defense like this, because it's a representation of, like, some of the better defenses they're going to face. And this defense has been consistent the entire time that we've been out here now, five practices this spring. And yes, there have been days where the offense has done well, but, like, you're not seeing, I mean, the defense has had more moments than not, especially in team periods when just even the semblance of the look of that pass rush is, you know, causing things to speed up. And, you know, they're going to have to overcome that and figure out ways around that when that becomes not live contact, but when they are able to go at full speed.
Yeah, it's I think just how this defense has continued to, it's almost the perfect balance, right? Like, before the play's happening, they're jawing at him. They're trying to throw him off. As the play happens, they're trying to get to him. After the play happens, you almost see him, like, especially a lot of the veteran players, go over to him once the drill is done. Is like, all right, yeah, this is good play on that one. Mm-hmm. You thought you had us, but, like, kind of tell him, like, you're doing okay. You're not falling behind. You're on par. And it is always, we come in here after all these practices at training camp, we do the same thing, and it's always, you know, what the offense do, what the defense do. Yep. But as one team, I think the word that I would use to describe this Bears team is resilient. We've seen both sides go through, like, you're struggling a little bit in this moment. All right, now we got to bounce back.
Yeah, and the whole, I know it's cliche, but not making the same mistake twice. I think it's good that Caleb didn't throw an interception today.
Yeah.
You know, saw him throw one.
Two days in a row.
Kind of the same issue on both, but he's, again, I think it's a good thing to be willing to test the ball over the middle of the field. Got to be a little bit quicker on that pass and not take a second hitch. But it's better than being conservative. You wouldn't want him checking stuff down right now anyways. Like, you want to know what your quarterback is capable of and his arm strength for, you know, and just seeing
it's
how the ball comes off of his hand.
It's a flick.
It's just different. We haven't seen that. And that's not a bad thing, but it just shows you that the the floor is raised for Caleb Williams and the quarterback position in general here.
Yeah, and I think the team realizes that. I think the coaches realize that. And I love the fact that they're not shying away from it. Yep. I asked Jaquan Brisker about that today. Do you feel more pressure on you this season coming in knowing you got a rookie quarterback? Maybe you got to have his back a little bit more. He's like, I don't really care what the offense does. I want to score touchdowns. I was like, okay. Like, I like that.
Him on that. And but he,
but that's like 06 Bears, right? That's well, that so, old school mindset. Now, they didn't have an offense, but.
And he's got a coach that is going to favor defense and is going to instill that mindset in his players. But, you know, the question is a very fair one because Caleb Williams isn't in a situation where he's got to throw 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns a game for this team to win. Like, I mean, I do think they need to score like 28 points.
Let's throw 4.
Like, they need to score more than they did last year. You can't average, you know, be in the bottom of the league in points per game. But some of that's the run game. Some of that is going to be, you know, if this defense can truly get the turnovers that it wants, it's going to be a defense putting you in a much better situation to do your job. But I also just the way that this defense, having a defense like this, is not going to make him feel like he's in a situation where it's all on him to score and score 4, like, you know, have, you know, at least 4 touchdowns a game for this team to win. I think you can divvy up the responsibility for how the Bears get it done. And there will be the days where, like, Ryan Poles keeps reiterating this at any chance he's, like, spoken publicly, that you want your quarterback to be the reason you win games. He said it on Adam Schefter's podcast recently. He's told us this. He's told me this, like, in a one-on-one conversation I had with him at owners' meetings. And he said this publicly. This is kind of his song cry for why they made this move to begin with. And but, like, that doesn't mean it's always going to be on Caleb for this team to win. It's going to be on that. They're going to have the defense in certain games, I'm sure, bail them out because these other players get paid too. So it's a good balance, though. It doesn't – the balance of power with this team, if you – like, you know, you're going to find people who say, oh, well, the receiver unit is the strongest unit on the team or the secondary is the strongest unit on the team. Sometimes it might switch. Like, sometimes there might be days where the defense it looks better and the offense looks worse and vice versa. And that's a good thing to have. That's an abundance of riches where it's not just all falling on one side of the ball to get it done.
To me, the dream scenario heading into this season is the defense leads the way to start the season off. Caleb figures it out by the time you get to your divisional games. Mm-hmm. I think that's the scenario that puts you in the playoffs, and you've got a defense that can. I think you said it perfectly on that. It's not, it doesn't have to be on Caleb Williams just yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It takes time for you to get there. The Tom Brady scenario, right? Tom Brady's first Super Bowl, he was the glorified, like, turn around and hand this football off. Don't screw up. Let the defense lead you to a win, and we'll kick for a win. You know what I mean? By the time he's winning his last Super Bowl in New England, everybody's like, Tom, what you got? You know what I mean? It's on you. So that you want these guys to develop that way, to develop in a league where they have the opportunity to look around them and say, I don't have to take this on right now, but eventually I will.
It's got to be another part of the security blanket for this quarterback. When he's looking around at his offensive options and realizing, okay, I've got a talented team around me, that – look around also should extend to the defense, because that's a very talented defense to go up against a top five defense that will get you better, but also to have the backing and support of a top five defense to bail you out of certain situations and, you know, to help control the tenor of the game. That's like, again, why it's the ideal situation for him to be here, which most quarterbacks drafted number one overall don't have.
Bryce Young's still out here hating his life. They gave him nothing. Yeah, I feel so. I don't listen. You got to be bad one more year for us.
Maybe that's what Flus meant when he was talking about, like, he's telling players, like, the message, like, control what you can control. Like, when they go off into summertime, and he's made this thing. He's like, can't control where you were born, can't control what year you were born in. It's like, oh, like, okay, Bryce Young was, you know, technically a year younger, quarterback class younger. I don't know. That's total reach. He didn't mean that. I'm just thinking of that right now.
It was. Flus was on one today. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, he was a little
spicy.
It was a little spicy today.
I enjoyed it.
I'm telling you, bearded Flus is a leak. Like, I don't know what he's going to be as a head coach on the field, but hearing him in the press conference is like,
he's done well.
He's done well.
He is truly, he's in command and control up there.
I would almost say the team is reflecting the confidence that he's gained
that is a very
coming
good
into
point.
This season. Like it is, it maybe it's shocking, but hearing Flus last season, it sounded like we're trying to figure it out. We're kind of trying to find our direction.
I think he was trying to find his voice too.
Absolutely. As a head coach. And it seems like coming into this season, he's like, I know what I got. He comes in knowing he's got the dogs on defense, so he probably feels great about sure. that. But the confidence that he's exuding, it seems like that's going through the entire team.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely that attitude is reflected elsewhere. And, I mean, these players, you know, it's all about the players. Like, they are the focal point of this franchise. But his confidence certainly, you know, that doesn't – it's not like in a vacuum. Like, yeah. His confidence has a trickle-down effect too.
Yeah, no, it's going to be real fun to watch this all. We will be – are we here for next week?
They're up here on Wednesday.
Can we get it? Okay, we can – all right. Well, we'll be here Wednesday for sure, checking out what's going on next week with the rookies, tuning in with them, seeing what's going on. Stay tapped in with us because we got more content coming your way. As always, appreciate Courtney coming on the show. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let us know your biggest concerns heading into training camp. We'll probably react to those next week. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.